is a little strange, isn't it, the way it works this week, huh?
Well, it's a quick turnaround. Sure has been. You know, we've got to turn the page on the Colts here in a hurry and get on to the Jets. But they're in the same boat as we are, so just do the best we can.
This is like a Wednesday or Thursday, really, not a Monday.
It's Thursday. Oh. Today's Thursday for us, so it's a quick turnaround.
I want to talk to you about a quick turnaround because I was thinking the same thing, just looking back at the game yesterday. And I'm wondering if your thought process changed as quickly as the game did. 18 minutes into the game, it's 14-14. Looks like you can't stop them. Looks like they can't stop you. Donald Brown has just picked up 9 yards. It's 2nd and 1, and then game changes, interception return for a touchdown. And from that moment on, I think you guys outscored them with 31-10, something like that. Did you think 18 minutes into the game, oh, this is what we have here. We're going to have a shootout. And then did your thought process change as quickly as the game did?
Well, I think when you at the beginning of the game, a lot of times things can be skewed by a couple plays. And, you know, we hit a couple offensively and got down the field in a hurry. So did they. They had the long pass on the pass interference. And so, you know, a lot of times you look at those plays you're not sure if it would all turn out the same without that big play. Obviously, we're trying to limit him, and we're trying to get him, and vice versa. But that sometimes a couple big plays like that can kind of skew the game early, and I think you got to be careful about. You don't think that it's going to go a certain way because of a play that happened early in the game, and if those plays don't continue to happen, then the game probably isn't going to continue to go that way.
Could you explain how that process works during the course of a game? Game starts, you've got a whole game plan. You work the whole thing out. Now suddenly, and I won't even use yesterday's game, any game, suddenly it's not going the way you thought it was going. Now you've got the headsets on. You're talking to the people upstairs. You're looking at something totally different than what you planned on. How does that work? How does the process work? How do you change things up during the course of a game?
Well, I don't think we saw anything yesterday that was different that we had never seen before. I mean, I think that was... especially defensively, I'd say, you know, that they started doing playing us a certain way, called a lot of running plays to our defensive right. That was obvious in the game. That was a big part of the game plan. And then they were going to try to hit some play action passes on early downs. They ran several of those early in the game, the post. They ran a couple other over routes. One time Luck had to scramble out. But, you know, that was definitely their element of attack. And then you have third down. So, That's about really what we expected. We weren't sure that all the runs were going to go to our right side that early in the game, but it was obvious that that's what they were going to try to do. And so once we saw that, then we just, you know, started making the players more aware of that and tried to make a couple calls to, you know, to help shore those things up. But and I'd say the same thing offensively. We saw that they were going to play a lot of man-to-man, a lot of cover one with middle of the field safety. We didn't see hardly any split safety coverage from them. And it was pretty obvious after a while that they were going to give us a lot of that. And we had prepared for it. We just didn't know that we would get it as much as what they did. So we tried to run patterns and run running plays that would be able to attack those schemes.
So is it a matter of you go into a game and you figure that, because you know, like anything else, you're working on the other team's weaknesses. You want to exploit that. You've got to know in advance certain things that a team is going to attempt to do against your team. So if you know all of the different possibilities, as the game unfolds and you start seeing the thing come into crystal clear picture right now, how do you change up on the fly? What do you do? How's that process work? That's what I'm trying to figure out here.
Well, exactly. I think you try to figure out how they're trying to attack you, what they're trying to do, and you sort of got to convey that to the players. We definitely got the second and long screen draw look. First time we got the screen, second time we got the draw, both on 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 12, whatever it was. So you know, you make the players aware of what things to be alert for, what type of plays they're trying to run or where they're trying to attack, and then you adjust your calls accordingly. So what are we going to call to give us to help play these plays or these type of plays better? Not necessarily you're going to get the same play over and over again, but, you know, a general area of attack, runs to the right, play action routes, those type of things. So what are we going to call to help that out? And so then you decide what that is. You tell the players. And the same thing offensively. You So, okay, here's the things that they're doing. So let's be alert for that. Let's be ready for them to, you know, to bring five, to try to blitz over the back, to try to bring double-edged pressure and getting a lot of man-to-man coverage. And here are some of the lead plays that we're going to call. Or here's maybe offensively some of the plays we're not going to call. Like, we had these plays in the game plan, but this isn't really what we want as long as they continue to do this. And what will happen in a lot of games is you'll do something like offensively. You'll say, okay, well, here's what they're giving us. So these are the type of plays we're going to run. Well, if you have some success with those plays, then they may change and go back to something else. And then some of the things that you had in the game plan that you didn't use because they were giving a certain style of play or defense now become more viable because they've adjusted to something that you've been hurting them with, and now you can go back to a different mode of attack. So a lot of times that switches back and forth within the game, where you just try to get a feel for how, you know, what they're doing. Maybe they play first and second down one way and they play third down a little bit differently, or things like that.
You know, before you came in, we were talking about a couple of things. One, how many points are enough in a game? At what point in the game? Seems like we're going back in time with that topic. And then also, when to sub out key players in the game. And I've heard you say enough about offense. The offense's job is to get on the field and score points. And I know you feel that way. Was there anything particular that happened in your coaching career that made you kind of cement that philosophy? Did you see a team, your team up by 25 and lose in a record amount of time? Or is that something, is that just a philosophy you've always had about how to go out in the field and attack an opponent?
Oh, well, we've seen those plays in the, you see those games in the NFL every year. I mean, teams that have a lead go all the way back to the Indianapolis-Tampa game when they scored, what was it, like 24 points in 4 minutes or 21 points in 4 minutes or whatever it was, or the Buffalo-Houston playoff game where it's 35 to nothing at halftime and lose 38-35 or whatever it was. I mean, those games happen. It doesn't take much in this league. Teams can score quickly, turnovers. So, you know, I think you just keep playing. And I mean, you know, at some point there's a point, but, and then you only have so many players. I mean, you only dress so many players, so somebody's got to play. You know, I think you got to be careful when you're trying to run a team, you know, to go up to one guy and say, well, you know, Michael, we're gonna leave you in a game because we don't really care about you, but Glenn, we're going to take you out because you're really important. But you know, you other guys, you just go in there. We just, you know, if anything happens to you, then we don't really care. You know, I don't think that's really a good way to approach a team. I've never done that. I don't think that's would be a very successful approach to it.
Would the quarterback be the exception to that?
Well, again, I think you play the game, and then if there's a certain point where you want to change the way you're playing it, then you can make those changes, whichever ones you can make. And again, as an example, on the offensive line, you have seven offensive linemen, so you can't take five guys out and put two in. You know, somebody's got to play. Somebody's got to play receiver. Somebody's got to carry the ball. Somebody's got to do everything. So, you know, however you manage that, there's, I'm not saying you can't do it, but I think you gotta give it some thought. And it's not, you know, it's not like college where you got, you know, 100 guys standing over on the sideline just, okay, who's putting a whole new group of guys. Like, that's not really realistic in the National Football League.
In the case of Gronkowski yesterday, it appears that he got hurt on the final PAT. In those situations, can you remember changing the punt, either kicking protection team or the punt protection team? In the game, it doesn't seem to be a standard thing in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think football players play football, and I don't know how. You tell me which guy's going to get hurt, and I'll get him out of there. But I mean, I don't know how you know that.
Time machine, simple, Bill. Get one of those time machines, go back into time, figure it all out.
Replay it.
Look what your record would be like if you went into one of those time machines. It was interesting because you know how this stuff works, and people have made a very big deal of it. I thought Tony Dungy made some interesting comments last night because you, in effect, had Gronk sitting on the sideline on that final drive where you scored the touchdown and made it 59-24. He was out. So my guess is that you had already made a decision to take him out of the game, and Dungy's point is, as we've heard other coaches chime in today, well, you're on the kicking team. You're the winger on the kicking team. The special teams coach just calls everybody out there, and everybody goes out there. It's not like you have time to sit there and say, wait a minute, him in, him out, him in, him out. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think in terms of Rob, that the end of the game gave us an opportunity to play Shanko, who didn't play for whole, for half the season, so he had an opportunity to get some more reps, and the same thing with Hooman, gave him an opportunity to be in there and get a few more reps, and so guys that had less playing time, that was a good opportunity to get them in there. So I don't see anything wrong with that. Again, at the same time, I can just hear it, now, if somebody else was in at wing that wasn't used to playing there on the field goal team, and guy came around the edge and dove in there, and somebody, holder or kicker or somebody, got torn up in a duel, why was he in there? Why wouldn't you go with the same guy that's been doing it the whole game? And so, we can play that game all day. It's as long as you know what the results are, then you always have the right argument. But I think that, like I said, players, they're prepared to play 60 minutes, and game 60 minutes long, and if you can take a guy out, or you want to take a guy out for a reason, you can do that, but guy's got to play.
I think this is what it comes down to from a fan perspective, just being realistic. If a guy you like is one of your favorite players, you think it's an important player, he gets hurt, you're pissed. If it's a guy you don't really care about and he gets hurt, oh well, it's football. I think that's how a lot of people look at it, unfortunately. Let's switch gears. Since today is Thursday for you, do you have an injury update?
Technicality.
Because injury report comes out on Wednesday.
We'll do it after we practice tomorrow. But really, the guys are just walking in. I haven't seen the team yet today, and so they're walking in. We'll evaluate them, give them some treatments, see how they're doing, and then tomorrow when we go out on the field, even though it'll be on a limited basis, we'll have a lot better idea of where guys are tomorrow. The day after the game, or a few hours after the game, was a late game last night. It's always hard to get a real quick read on something. Some guys just swear after the game, and the next day they feel fine. Some guys feel fine after the next day game, or after the game, and the next day they're sore. They find something that's bothering them that wasn't bothering them during the adrenaline and the action of the game. So I know everybody's looking for a quick answer on that, but the reality of it is, takes sometimes a day, 2 days to really get a good read on a player's situation. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, reports are out there that Gronk already had surgery this morning. Can you confirm that?
I can. I haven't met with our doctors and our medical people. Like I said, I do that at the end of the day after they've had a chance to evaluate everybody. And, usually we don't do it on a case by case. I just saw this guy, here's what he said. I just saw that guy, here's what he said. I just saw this guy. I mean, we do it at the end of the day after everybody's been in, and all the players haven't been in yet. So that's the way we do it.
You talked earlier about defending the Colts or just playing the Colts, and there weren't many surprises. How about Reggie Wayne? I'm just looking here at the stat sheet. Targeted 18 times in yesterday's game. He got 7 catches, but 18 targets. When you look at their offense, I know it's modeled after what Arians did in Pittsburgh. Is the key to their offense, is it Reggie? Is that it? If you can control Reggie Wayne, maybe you can steer the offense the way you want it to go if you're the defense?
Well, I think that's a good place to start. He's their leading receiver, and he has probably twice as many catches as the next guy does, whoever that is. I think that's a good place to start. On the other hand, they move him around quite a bit. They don't always just leave him in the same spot like sometimes the old Colts did. And so that causes some multiples for you defensively. We get him, but then where does everybody else match up and so forth? So there's some issues there. But I think, in the end, the Colts have a competitive running game, and they have a mobile quarterback. And they have another group of fast receivers with Avery and T.Y. Hilton and Palmer and Brazil and a good tight end and Allen. So, I don't think you can just stop one guy, but Reggie Wayne's a good place to start because he's a tremendous receiver that can really run every route, get open from any spot on the field, and is a very versatile and obviously experienced and productive player. So I don't think it's just him, but that's a good place to start.
Seemed like you send an extra man defensively a little bit more than we've seen over the last few weeks. Did the situation call for it? Did Tlaib have anything to do with it, the fact that you could depend more on him in a certain area?
Well, I think the game certainly turned to a pretty much of a one-dimensional game in the third quarter, and getting pressure on the quarterback is always a good thing. It's always a good thing when especially when a team like Baltimore takes deeper drops, like Indianapolis takes.
Everybody does that still.
They should be the Baltimore. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Last week.
They take deeper drops, hold the ball a little bit longer, so it's you have a better chance if you send another guy to have a chance to get there. It's say relative to a team like Buffalo that throws the ball so quick. You can send everybody you want, and a lot of times the ball will be out of the quarterback's hands before you get very close to him. So in this case, I thought there was some merit to being able to bring an extra player, and we did that on a number of occasions. Different guys, it wasn't always the same guy, but we were able to be disruptive in the passing game and put some pressure on Luck. And again, going into the Colts game, the NFL record for attempts per game is 43, and the Colts were averaging 42 before the Jacksonville game, so talking about a team that likes to throw the ball.
You look at seeing Rob Ninkovich yesterday again, forcing a fumble, recovering a fumble. Did you see this? Some guys are just instinctive football players. Did you see early on that was something that was part of his package? Forget about how big he is, how fast he is. Just look at him and say, wow, this guy really has a nose for the football.
Well, Rob, he certainly has over the last, probably two and a half years. He's had several trifectas, the sack, caused fumble, recovered fumble. He's hit that trifecta a number of times, and he does. He not only has an ability to get to the quarterback, but he has an awareness of the ball and to be able to get the ball as well as getting the quarterback, and that's it's an instinctive thing. We teach it, we work on it, but in the end, it's a split second decision for the player to do I tackle the quarterback, do I hit the quarterback, can I get the ball out and not miss him? And you don't want to go for the ball and miss him, then have him stand there and make the throw. You don't want to just tackle him and get the sack. So those are decisions that players have to make in just a split second, and every one of them is different, but he does a good job of that. And he's got very good ball awareness, and he's gotten the ball out a lot for us, coming from both sides.
It's amazing. The play yesterday where, it was a great play by Luck where he's, Ninkovich is hanging on his shoulder, and then he decides to try to bring him down by his waist. And
16 yards on that.
And Luck was still able to complete the pass. Yeah. But you think about Ninkovich and his history, and it's easy to say when you're just watching a game, but his history would be, you saw at one point his arm was there. Ninkovich's history is that he usually grabs his arm.
Yeah.
And just jars the ball free. He probably looks at the film and says, I do that 9 times out of 10. I wonder why I didn't do it there.
Yeah, well, that play you're talking about was very, to me, Roethlisberger-like. Guys hanging on him, stand in there, throw the ball downfield into tight coverage and get a, whatever it was, 15-yard gain. When you think, well, his guy's going to get sacked, and then, well, he's not going to complete it, and then, that all the above happens. So, Luck made some good plays. He really did. He made some good throws. The receivers made some tough catches, And then we had a few go our way too. So it was, fortunately we had a few more than they did. But it was they made some good plays. They do a lot of good things offensively.
You know what? Your defense is getting a lot of love nationally today. Yet I look at the total yards passing. They gave up 334 yards. But obviously the takeaways, which has been a big part of this defense all year long, takeaways and the fact that your offense is not giving the ball away. The ratio has been phenomenal. How much of this defense is built toward this? I know you've said this before, you never want to give up yardage. But you almost seem like times we've talked in the last few weeks, as long as you're keeping stuff in front of you and waiting for that opportunity. Seems like this defense has become very opportunistic when it comes to those big plays. That's a safe way of putting what you've been doing defensively?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's hope it continues. But it's hard to go into a game and count on that. You know, you're always looking for it, but it's hard to go into the game and say, okay, we're going to get points in the kicking game or defensively, or we're going to get 2, 3, 4 turnovers. That's what your goal is, but it's hard to count on that every week. And I think, you know, the danger is if you're counting on 4 turnovers and you don't get them and you don't get any, and, you know, then where are you? So, you know, I think the bottom line is defensively is you try to play good defense. You obviously don't want to give up big plays. You want to get the team in third down. You want to get them off the field on third down. You want to play good in the red area. And then you always want to take advantage of your turnover opportunities, whether those are strip sacks, being able to pull the ball out on a run or a fumble, whether it's taking advantage of route combinations that you can anticipate and make a play on, that type of thing. But you want to capitalize on those opportunities. And that's not an endless list. It's 2, 3, 4 a game. And we've all seen the defensive backs drop one right in our hands, or a fumble that somehow you should come up with, but they come up with, and those are missed opportunities, and you just can't afford to miss those. So it's capitalizing on the turnover opportunities that come up. But in addition to that, it's playing good defense, good run defense, good pass defense, good red area, good third down, good situational defense. So it's really a combination of all those things. I don't think it's just, well, we're going to get 4 turnovers, so we don't have to play good on defense. I mean, go out there and play good on defense and not have any turnovers, and that could be good enough, too.
All right, Bill, it's time now for the coach's question of the week. It's brought to you by your local, you love this, don't you? Your local Mercedes-Benz dealers and their complete line of 2013 models on the web at mbusa.com. This week's question comes from Gene in Newton. Gene wants to know, in the business like NFL, when you guys play on Thursday, Thanksgiving, do you say anything to your players about Thanksgiving, even though that's a game day? You guys mentioned that you play on Christmas, I mean, right around the holidays, too. You say anything about the holidays, or is that
right? Well, it's certainly a lot easier to talk about it when you practice on Thanksgiving, or as opposed to game day, but I'm sure that we'll... I mean, we have a lot of guys that... really, our whole team, everybody's... Thanksgiving's a part of all our lives, and we certainly all have a lot to be thankful for. Thankful for the opportunity to play and coach and compete in the National Football League, and for the people that we have around us, because that's a big part of it too. So, I'm sure we'll all give thanks for that and recognize that at some point during the day. Absolutely.
I know both teams have to do it, but is it better for both teams in that you're familiar with each other when you get this short turnaround, as opposed to, let's say, playing in Arizona? After a game on Sunday, playing in Arizona on
playing Detroit.
Yeah.
You're playing Detroit. There's an NFC team that you play once every 4 years or whatever it is. So, I think it's a lot easier to know and prepare for that team. But I think the important thing is you've got to go back and do it. You've got to re-prepare. You just can't come into a game like this and say, oh, okay, we know them. We're all set. I think you've got to go back and do your film work. You've got to study your game plan. You've got to, go through your little reminders, your tips, and all the things that you do to really be ready to play the game. I think that's the important thing, that you just can't take it for granted that that's all going to come back to me, because usually it comes back to you one split second too late in the game, and then the damage has been done. So to really be on top of it, you got to put that preparation time in advance.
Does it make a difference? You played on Thanksgiving before. I remember you playing it. You play at noon in Detroit. Does it make a difference that game on Thursday is at 8 o'clock, or is that a stretch? I mean, that difference of 7, 8 hours. Does that help your team that you played on Sunday late and you play late on Thanksgiving as opposed to that noon game?
It's the same for both teams.
So there's no advantage.
It's a wash, but
yeah.
Rest. I'd say we've all had those games. We've all been in those games where every once in a while you have a player that with an extra day or an extra half a day can get there, that if it was a day earlier, a 1 o'clock game instead of an 8 o'clock game, it might not have made a difference, especially if it's a situation like a flu or that type of a bug or something like that. But sometimes that extra time, it does make a difference with a little more treatment, or a little more rest, or a little more medication or whatever it happens to be, it could make a little bit of a difference. But it's the same for both teams, so who knows what they're going through with those type of things too.
Just got a text from Diassi. He said, tell Bill I said hi. Just passing it along to him.
It's his birthday this
Steve
week.
Tell Steve happy 50th birthday.
Is it 50 or is it
every
60?
Year.
I think it's
every
60.
Year it's 50.
I think he's tacking on two every year. Have a great game on Thursday, and a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We'll see you back here next week.
Well, thanks, Glenn. Michael, same to you, and happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners out there. Thank you.
Have a good one. Bill Belichick right here on Patriots Monday in the Big Show.